Welcome to week 7 of the Extraordinarily Fresh Fantasy Football League podcast. This is your boy AJ, and I'm here with my man Chris. Chris, go ahead and say hello to the people.
Hey, what's going on, League? It's your commish Skip. First time hosting the podcast, so hopefully it goes well. Hopefully I don't crash and burn.
And we also got Simon on the podcast. Simon, how you doing today, man?
Hey, what's going on, Fresh Fam? You know, it's a new and improved name, you know, Mr. Still Yo Girly, but not a new and improved team, so I'm going to keep working on that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we'll also have Ish joining the show a little later on. And we're looking forward to it, man. It's going to be a good show today. We got plenty of things in store for us. And, you know, it's always a good time when Chris decides he wants to show up and talk a little bit. So I guess we'll go ahead and get it caught up. Start off with the non-6 cent section, gentlemen. So let's just go with one and ease toss up. I'm going to go and throw it at you first, Simon. How did your week 6 treat you?
I mean, it went horribly, and I blame you. I mean, you put the smack down on me. You didn't show any mercy on me. And you know what? By the time I have these many injuries on my team and I can't even put together a starting lineup, I just have to hope that guys have a big game out of nowhere. I should have started Bryce Butler. That is somebody I picked up. I left him out this game. I thought he wasn't going to do anything, but – I mean, it's tough. It's tough for me, and I think my team is starting to show its lack of depth, and I've got to figure out some things, either start building for next year or see if I can salvage some things when I get Doug Martin back. I'm hoping that I can, you know, make a run, but it treated me horribly, and thank you, AJ, for that. I appreciate it, man.
My bad. I struggled to get the mic. You'll have to cut that. Mic wouldn't turn back on. Anyway, I'm sorry about that, Simon. I didn't mean to put the whooping on you like that. You know, you're one of the good guys, but I needed the win, man. I can't understand how I'm leading the league in points and I'm still sitting at 3-3. So I had to get it, man. I had to get it. Some people have to lose, man.
You gotta get out. You live. You know, I can't knock you for going out and getting the win, but all I'm saying is, did you have to do the 130 though? I mean, you could have left a few guys on the bench. You know, made it look a little bit closer or something.
Oh, man, that was a rough week for you. Was that your low score for the season, right?
How many? Oh yeah, low score for the season. And you know, so many guys on bye, so many guys injured, and I had no shot.
Yeah, man. Your pickup, I picked up Bryce in another league as well. Same thing, man. I just wanted to give him one more week to see what he would do. Left him on the bench and was definitely upset with myself for doing so. All right, Chris, what about you? How did week 6 go for you, brother?
Well, week 6, it didn't go too well, but it seems like it could have gone well. Actually, going into the Sunday night game, I was thoroughly convinced that I would lose. And then Lamar Miller, good old Lamar Miller, he shows up and he scores 36 points in the Sunday night game against Indianapolis. And lo and behold, I'm actually within about 15 to 20 points of JR. So, you know, I was thinking, all right, I got John Brown coming in the Monday night game, and he stunk it up. I mean, he ended up getting some late catches, but he ended up scoring only about 10 points, and I ended up losing by a little over 10. So, I mean, all in all, it went okay. You know, I still had a chance going into the Monday night game, but, you know, the outcome was the same as it was even after the 4 o'clock games on Sunday. But, you know, perhaps I inched a little bit closer to you in our bet, but it doesn't seem like I'm actually going to follow through with that.
Yeah, man. It's unfortunate, but I think what happened to you is something that's happened to almost everybody on a weekly basis, man. It's because this league, we talk about it all the time, the parity that exists, it doesn't seem like people are ever losing by a huge margin. Like, you always feel like you're within a shot. And there's been a lot of really close losses this season. It's looking like it's weekly that somebody's losing by, you know, 2 points or less, easy.
Yeah, I mean, you even look at the scores. I know we're going to go through the wrap-up, but Ross lost by a point last week.
Yeah.
I mean, You know, there's all these scores that are so close, but then, you know, there are some people who are getting blown out.
Wasn't it like 0.8 points or something?
It was 1.04 points. So
0.04. That hurts. That hurts. I hope you're at home and it stings, Ross. Just so you know. And I listened, hey, just all time sake, for anybody who's listening to the podcast, you can go check it out. Episode 1, Dude Logic. Me talking shit about Ross for a good 5 minutes. It's worth it. It's worth it.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out.
All right. No, I'll go ahead and share how my feelings on my first week or week six. Thank God for the W. I will take it week in and week out. My team found a way to put some points on the board. You know, I was pretty consistent across the board. I couldn't complain, especially with having a couple of people on my bench in a bye week. Anytime you can get a win with people in a bye, it feels good. But I got caught by the injury bug last week, and LeSean McCoy's hamstring, he needs to, you know, go put some holy water on it and get it back together by Sunday, by Jesus's day. Otherwise, I may be in a little bit of a little conundrum this weekend. And even though V-Jax hasn't really done anything, it hurts my depth to have lost him at wide receiver, you know? So, I mean, it's one of those things in this league, you can almost expect that the injury bug is going to catch you eventually. So, hey, moving right along, gentlemen, to the next part. Studs and duds for week six. Who are the people that stood out to you for better or for worse? Chris, go ahead and start.
Well, I will say the aforementioned Lamar Miller. I mean, he scored in our league 35.8 points. And, you know, that was after not having a touchdown in his first few games. He finally got into the end zone. He finally was that RB1 that we were looking for. And just in time for me to actually get him from Shane in the trade. So thanks, Shane, for that. A few other studs, man. You know, week six was actually pretty weird. Just because scoring was low across the league, and I'm sure we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But in terms of all the players that I've been looking at, Odell Beckham, man, he's really, really good. And he came back and rebounded, got a 50-point day in this league. He's definitely doing his thing. So anyone who was worried about him shouldn't be. Jay Ajayi, I know a lot of people didn't start him in leagues, but especially since Arian Foster was coming back and, you know, they thought that he would take the bulk of the workload. But Jay Ajayi came out and he scored 2 touchdowns, 204 yards rushing, a stud, a straight-up stud. And then my last one is Golden Tate. After so many weeks of not producing, he ended up getting a huge workload. He ended up getting 10 targets. He had 8 catches for well over 150 yards and a touchdown. So those are my studs of the week. I'll give my duds later.
All right, Simon, what you got, brother?
All right, so for studs, I'm one guy that I played against on your team, LeSean McCoy, even though he did get hurt, what was interesting is he came back later in that game and tore it up. I mean, 3 touchdowns, anytime that a guy gets into the end zone 3 times, like, you know he's going to put up some major points. And I definitely feel your pain on that because I have him in another league, and I actually have Ezekiel and LeSean. And those guys are carrying me every single game. So, you know, it's definitely tough to see him go down, but he's an injury risk, and you should definitely go ahead and seal him up, you know, with a handcuff. But other studs, interestingly enough, you know, Matt Jones had a really good game, 135 yards and a rushing touchdown, a guy that some people speculate before you come into the league or come into the season. But he definitely showed up. Brandon Cook showed up, 2 touchdowns. He had 173 yards, or sorry, only 1 touchdown, but still 173 yards. I'm not complaining. So it's really interesting to see how that New Orleans receiving core is going to shape out. Is it going to be Brandon Cooks as the main guy? Are they going to spread it around? I really don't know. But those are my studs, and I'll let Skip get back to it with his duds.
That's what's up. I'm gonna go ahead and for both of you guys, I appreciate both of the things that you had to bring to the table. Chris, in particular, Golden Tate, great pick. because we've been waiting for him to do something all season long. Finally, week six, he does something, and it made me feel like it was a decent pickup in my other league. But now I'm worried about whether or not I should start him 2 weeks in a row. But with the kind of production he put up last week, you gotta put him in your starting lineup. And Simon, you and I were obviously on the same page because both my studs and my duds come from my team. And my stud was LeSean McCoy. And the reason I said LeSean McCoy, not just because he put up 35 points. There are people who put up more points on the board this week. But because he did go down, you know, he had those two scores early. He was sitting, like, I think in our league somewhere around 23 points when he went down with an injury. And, you know, we're thinking in our head, oh, shit, that like, you got to be kidding me. But at least he put up some points on the board before he got knocked out. Maybe he'll be fine this time next week. We won't have to worry about it. So for him to come back and put up another 12 points was a big deal, and I appreciated it for sure. But I'm not looking forward to this week coming up at all. That would be my my stud. So, Chris, hit us with your dud, man.
Yeah, I'm going to be a little unconventional. All of my duds are receivers this week. And realistically, it's because these receivers were expected to, you know, give us wide receiver one / wide receiver two numbers, and they did not deliver at all. So the first is I'm going to actually combine them, and it's the Denver wide receivers, man. Bebe Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, they did not come to play. And, you know, realistically, they were up against San Diego, a fairly average passing defense, and missing Jason Verrett. So you would expect that they would actually put up some really good numbers, but Simeon struggled. They ended up losing that game to San Diego, and you didn't get fantasy production out of them. Second, Jeremy Maclin. He had a great matchup, and, you know, people really expected that he would be able to take advantage of that matchup and really get some things over the top and get maybe a touchdown or two, and he just did not produce at all. Alex Smith didn't really do anything, and it's really because the run game was so strong. Jamaal Charles and Spencer Ware ended up getting early touchdowns, and they just kind of rode the run game down the line. And then the last one is Allen Robinson. I mean, he's such a physical freak. He's such an immense talent, but the thing is, he did not produce at all. He only had three catches. And, you know, hopefully this week he'll turn it around, but he's been underwhelming this year for sure.
Yep. Yeah, man. Like you said, him being the physical specimen that he is, it's always hard to see guys who are, you know, cut out of granite, who look like Tarzan, play like James. Just like, you know, my favorite of all time is Brandon Jacobs, 6'4", 265-pound running back that tiptoed and couldn't get a yard for a touchdown on the goal line. What about you, Simon? Who did you see this week that just did not cut the snuff?
Yeah, I'll definitely second Skip's duds, and I'll add some more to it. So Matt Forte, like a guy who you assume is going to get a heavy workload, completely doesn't show up, something like three carries, at most 2 points in most leagues. So that's something that nobody ever wants to see. And I was a little surprised Skip didn't mention Antonio Brown, because he got him in another league, in my dad's league that we're all competing in. And he only comes through, you know, 4 receptions, 39 yards. Nobody ever wants to see that. And I would also say, and this is an interesting one because he's almost a dud every week now, but a guy like Jeremy Hill, who's still getting huge workload, I mean, he's getting 13 to 16 carries per game, and he just never performs. So at what point do you say, all right, we're going with Gio as the number one, or do you just cut your losses and move forward? It seems like they maybe think they've invested too much in Jeremy Hill at this point.
Yeah, they're definitely trying to figure out how they're going to get some money back in that on that team.
You know, it's like riding a hoopty. You know, you got the door falling off, you know, but you're like, I still have some salvageable value in this car, and I'm going to ride it until it dies, you know?
I mean, you know, Peyton Manning's last season.
That's a good comparison.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a question for you all. Do you think Jeremy Maclin is the new LeGarrette Blount?
What capacity are you asking that question?
So basically, like a LeGarrette Blount game, quote unquote, is basically when they're up early. Yeah.
You were breaking up. You might want to start this over again.
Okay. So basically, what I mean is like a LeGarrette Blount game, quote unquote, is one where the team gets up early and they just kind of run it out and he just runs all over the defense because, you know, they can afford to run the ball so much. So you think that's how the Bengals will start treating Jeremy Hill? Because it seems that way by snap counts.
I don't know if the Bengals will ever have – I don't know if they'll ever depend on one player that much. I just don't see them making that decision, even though it might be the absolute best decision they can make right now. I don't see it personally. And I don't really have a good reason as to why. I just don't see it.
I think also with, you know, a guy like Hill, they still have Gio Bernard. You see what I'm saying? Like, I feel like LeGarrette Blount, you know, they had no other running backs except for receiving running backs who's going to throw them the ball. So they had that game plan where you could just depend upon a workhorse kind of guy. But, you know, you have Gio Bernard. You have A.J. Green. You have Dawn. I'm like, you know, so I don't think he'll ever be that because I think LeGarrette's a better runner than him. And he has a higher ceiling than Jeremy Hill.
My thing is this, like you said, Gio Bernard is there. And you know what? This situations like this make you start to think, you know, what is it? What's the drawback behind a Gio Bernard? Like, why doesn't the team trust him enough to just say, let's cut bait on this other guy and move forward? You know, what is it that Hill brings to the table that this team just can't let go of? You know, there are those guys who week in and week out, they show up in practice and they look like all-stars for whatever reason. They just can't put it together on the field. You know, maybe that's just where he is. And if that's the case, that's what they pay people, you know, ridiculous sums of money in the GM's office and scouting offices and people's franchises. You got to figure it out. One way or another, you got to make the right decision for your team. So
another thing is politics. You know, maybe one of the upper management was like, look, Hill is my guy, you know. And we saw this in Detroit for numerous years when they were trying out all these different receivers and quarterbacks. And you see the same thing in Dallas with Tony Romo, you know. Like,
if Tony Romo starts when he comes back, somebody should shoot Jerry Jones.
Hey, that's what I'm saying.
That's,
you know,
all I'm saying.
Or you had Al Davis, you know, the godfather himself sitting here making moves. It's like, look, man. Sometimes you just got to be – you got to get with the times. And you got to be like, look, it's time to move on. And I think that's what they need to do with Jeremy Hill.
If you guys will permit me the opportunity, I wanted to get back and go ahead and give my duds because it was important to me. Normally I would just let it go and move forward. But I need to say, Carolina's defense, you're officially a fucking dud. All of you. Collectively, the shittiest – how do you get -7 points when you are ranked in the top 5 defenses coming in every league, in every format, everywhere? What happened? And number two, my duds, they don't really affect – well, yes, they do. They affect fantasy points a lot. And my duds for last week are the refs, specifically the ones who didn't call pass interference on Richard Sherman and cost my Falcons the game.
Hey, that was definitely
good gosh
interference call.
Like, if there's ever been a case for allowing instant replay on pass interference, that is it. And I'm so pissed because I like, even though everybody in the world is like, yep, the Falcons got hosed, the NFL is not going to retroactively give us that damn game. And that's what sucks about it. It's because referees were unwilling to pull that damn flag in the last 2 minutes. They gave the game away. Oh, snap. What happened to Brian Hoyer? I missed it.
Yeah, he got injured.
Yeah, so he released and went right into a guy's helmet. I think it's an elbow or a hand injury.
Well, 4 games of over 300 yards straight, and Chicago's back at not having a quarterback again. Congratulations.
Well, AJ, you know the thing that you said, and you know, I'm a notorious, I'm not a Falcons hater, but I'm just not a Falcons lover. And you know, I will stand Judas. Right there. I will stand right there with you and pick it and do everything that you need to do to get people to realize that that was PI. And you know, like you said, the whole world is basically behind you. They're like, the Falcons got holes, but it's not going to really cause any changes in the NFL's front office. And you have to start looking at defenses like this. I mean, I feel like Seattle's game plan is basically to commit PI on every play because they're not going to call it on every play. And so you can just kind of take your chances by doing it.
It's like the Legion of Boom has developed this reputation that they're the world's greatest secondary. And just like the in the NFL when, you know, Michael Jordan was at his top, Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal, they would get calls that other people just don't get. And he doesn't get that call. That's what killed me. And he got tackled to the ground. Like, so much frustration.
I'm going to tell you what's about to kill you, AJ. You sound like you're choking over there. You good, bro?
Man, I choked on my own spit, y'all. I tried to
get through it. That's what passion does to you.
I tried to get through it.
That's straight up passion.
It was killing me, y'all. Yeah. All right. So I guess last thing we can cover, what was your biggest surprise in game action? Like the one moment you were sitting at home watching all the games this weekend that you were just like, holy shit, how did that happen? Excuse my language. I'm trying, y'all. I'm trying to do better.
I mean,
you
for
just
me,
take that one out, Chris.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I would have to say that Julio Jones call is up there because that was such an action-packed game. And you're right. You do have to start looking about the jurisdiction of the refs. Do we allow video camera evidence to overturn non-calls? I think that's an interesting consideration. But also, I think in-game action, I was surprised at how well Ezekiel Elliott was tearing up the Green Bay defense. They've let less than 200 yards the whole season, and he was running like they were butter, man. Just fresh out the microwave, just soft.
I mean, at the end of the day, if you're talking about a Dallas running back, you're talking about a Dallas offensive line. Yeah, if there's anything that they've done right in the last 20 years, is I don't think they've ever had an offensive line that wasn't like top 10. In production year in and year out.
You know, it reminded me of that Batman quote, you know, an unstoppable force meets an immovable object. I think we settled that debate.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed, we did. And we settled that debate last week, indeed, with the best defense in the league and the best offense in the league, and my Falcons prevailed against the Broncos. I just wanted to put that out there.
I mean, I am from Denver, you know. I'm not saying that. I mean, look, I've got complete coverage for the next year because we won the championship. So, you know, when that happens, you can come holler at me.
Shots fired. Shots fired.
Well, so, AJ,
Chris, what about you, brother? What'd you see this weekend? What stuck out to you? What was a big moment?
You know, I got two things. So the first is it actually has to do with one of the studs that we identified. And it's LeSean McCoy, man. He went out and everybody was panicking. And, you know, it's like, oh, man, LeSean McCoy looked bad coming off the field, blah, blah, blah. And he goes and then he comes back in and goes off. I mean, completely goes off and has a very stud-like day.
Yeah, it was like it didn't even faze him.
Yeah, exactly. And then the other thing is David Johnson, man. You know, we got a chance to watch him in the Monday night game. And if you haven't seen him run, you got a chance to really look at him. The dude has so good vision. Like, I mean, it's just – it's such good vision. And I mean, did you see the really long run that he broke off?
I mean, it was. All right. So, I mean, David Johnson, it's a beautiful thing to watch the man play because as a second year player, it's like, what can he not do? You know, I mean, physically, he's gifted. He's got elite speed, elite size. And like you said, the intangible that a lot of people don't talk about is vision and patience. What I've noticed in him is he has different gears. He knows how to let a play develop in front of him. He knows how to give his offensive lineman time to reach that block, time to get to the second level and get on that linebacker. He's not trying to go 100 miles per hour straight from the handoff. But as soon as that hole opens, it's like getting shot out of a cannon. The dude is impressive. Really, seriously, if he can stay healthy, he could be a Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I just went and watched that run, you know, after Skip mentioned it. I didn't see that run live, but he kind of reminds me of LaDainian Tomlinson because you're right. It's almost as if he knows what's going to happen just with the flow of the blocking and the flow of the defense 5 steps ahead of everybody. And it looks effortless. It's crazy.
Yeah, and I'll say this. One of the things that's really impressive about him, Chris, I mean, it was really what you just alluded to, too. To me, you know, I know about his history and having, you know, a history of returning kicks. He looks like a returner in the open field. You know, it's not often you see a running back that can hit between the tackles and get you 3, 4, 5 yards, the hard yardage. But then once he gets to the second level, can take off and he looks like a damn, you know, best that ever did it. What's his name? Chicago.
Devin Hester.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. Devin Hester. That was the name I was looking for. Yeah, no, he really does. He honestly, he looks – he can make people miss in the open field. And that's a talent that I think you're born with it, and it's hard to teach somebody. And he has all the intangibles that are necessary to be a really good player in this league for a long time. He's impressed me, for sure.
Absolutely.
This is the time every week where we get to the weekly wrap-up where we talk about all the games and what happened, the results, who showed up, who didn't. So we'll start with Ish, and is this going to be like we'll talk Ish last, I guess, after because he got high points. He's going to be talking later.
Yeah, we'll talk to him later, but you can just mention that he got high points.
All right. Ish, the big F-ing-ish. Received high points this week at 165.52, which is actually a very low score for high points. So I'm hating Ish.
AJ, do it again. I messed up. It's 150.22.
Okay.
So just do it again.
All right. Thank you. So this week we had Ish, the big effing Ish, receive high points with 150.2. I believe. Chris, what was that? What was that number exactly?
Yeah, 150.22. A very low high score.
You know, I guess I didn't get it, so I can't really talk a whole lot of junk. But Ish, do better, brother. Do better. You had a weak week, and you took advantage.
Hey, Meredith, though.
So we also had several other competitions this week. So let me go ahead and name those scores. We got Jewel, Hostile Takeover, defeated Shane, the little teapot, with a score of 141.66 to 100.06. Shane, I'm disappointed in you, man. We also had Roland House Money defeating Brad, Smoke on the Water at 120.58 to 101.9. Roland was projected to win that game, so he did what he was supposed to do. Ronnie, the great one, defeated Clint. So apparently my prediction of him losing this week was wrong. I will go ahead and admit it. Clint, you let me down, brother. But he lost 139.24 to 97.06. Clint was projected to win. What happened with that, guys? Did he suffer injuries? I didn't look at that matchup too closely.
Chris, yeah, I mean, it was interesting how that actually unfolded, and it wasn't really injury based. You got to think about it. Like Julian Edelman didn't show up, and you know AJ Green showed up, but then Ben Roethlisberger got hurt. That was the big injury that actually got him, and then he just had to start some really moonshot guys like Derrick Henry and Quincy Enunwa and Rashad Perriman. So, you know, that's just what happens when you have to do that.
So it sounds like it was a case of the Yahoo projections just being a little bit lofty going into this week.
Right.
All right, moving right along, we had Eric, Jacob High Rollers defeated Ross, the Fresh Crew, as we talked about, by a score of 1 point, 1.04 points to be exact, 131.88 to 130.84. Ross was projected to win, but like all losers, he showed up and he lost. All right, JR, in the next matchup, faced Nemesis. JR, who is the owner of Team Nemesis, defeated Skip. We are the IR, 132.58 to 121.56. JR was projected to win.
Yeah. So, I mean, I actually neglected to mention, just like Simon, I actually have a name change as well. And it's a little play on words. We are the IR. But, yeah, it describes my team perfectly, man. I got tons of players on the bench or in the IR spot, you know, just racking up injuries, especially at the wide receiver position. And that's what's really hurting me. I have a few running back issues, but it's the wide receiver position that's really hurting me. I mean, just briefly, I have Dante Moncrief. I got Josh Doctson out. Dez Bryant was out. You know, of course, Keenan Allen and Eric Decker on IR. And so, you know, it's a trying time for the wide receiver position on team We Are the IR.
Yeah, and, you know, just to mention the IR, you know, this year has really made me consider a new statistic for drafting players, and that's dependability, consistency. You know, some kind of metric that ranks how many games players play in a row, because there's one thing I've learned playing in this league, which is a step up in the league I played before. You've got to have depth and you've got to have dependable guys. I mean, three of my top three, Doug Martin, Peterson, and Sammy Watkins all out. You know, so you gotta plan 10 steps ahead on that.
Definitely. I actually, both of you guys gave me a great question I wanted to ask you. What do you think's worse, losing a tier one, tier two running back or a tier one, tier two wide receiver in this league?
Oh, I can chime in immediately. It's definitely a running back. A running back, I mean, losing, especially if it's a tier one guy, I mean, it's a devastating injury. Not only because, you know, you have to scramble to try to find a replacement, but because of the fact that wide receiver is a deep position. Now, running back is deep as well, but not at the top levels. So, you know, a wide receiver goes down, you can find another guy that's going to produce. Those targets have to go somewhere. But running backs don't generally just kind of take all the carries at the starter did and still have the same production. You have to have some talent and skill and, you know, the things that we talk about, vision and, you know, anticipation, things like that. So, absolutely.
I don't think I can answer that any better, Chris. Honestly. Simon, yeah. What about you, brother?
I mean, speaking from experience here, I'd also say running back. So, Doug Martin and Adrian Peterson, you know, the reason I spent over 40, 50 bucks on Doug Martin in the draft is because I had two tier one guys in Doug Martin and Peterson. And I found it nearly impossible to replace that. I have not found a dependable running back on the waivers yet. But I found a couple guys like Bryce Butler, you know, who soaked up some of Dez Bryant's workload. So, yeah, I'll definitely second that from my experience.
Next, we had AJ, myself, Henry P. McCoy, defeating Simon, Mr. Steal Your Girly, 136.50 to a really low score. And I'm not going to say it because I don't want to embarrass my mother.
Hey, Simon, hey, I appreciate that. You know, so good looking out.
I was projected to win. If you guys really need to know a score, you can go look it up. It was a rough week. Simon, it had nothing
gruesome.
It had nothing to do with your ability as an owner, and you got caught. You got the injury, unlucky, everything goes wrong bug. What is it? Murphy's Law was in effect.
Yeah.
Murphy's Law was effect on your team this week. I think my mic actually muted at one point.
Yeah, it muted.
The big effing Ish. Once again, with the high score this week, defeated Chad, Stairway to Seven, 150.22 to 130.88. Chad was projected to win, and his team came through. That's it for the week. That's all the scores, gentlemen. Chris, how about Ross and Eric's team going down to the wire this weekend? It was close. Very close.
Yeah. You know, I actually sort of putting on the Kamish hat, I proclaimed that as being a candidate for matchup of the week, just because at the time, going into week six, they were number 2 and 3 in the league standings. So, you know, of course, the only 2-4-1 teams, and they were facing off. And, you know, for a while there, it looked like Ross was just going to murder Eric. But then Eric came back strong. Ross didn't, his studs didn't really do it for him. And, I mean, to think, had he made one lineup decision, we'd be talking about him in the winner's circle. So it was definitely a good matchup.
Simon, what about you? Were you watching that?
Yeah, I was keeping an eye on it. I mean, the thing that I really like about games like these is because you look at the end of the season and you can see how things may or may not have made a difference, right? So you lose by less than a point this week. Maybe that turned into a different playoff spot and a different playoff matchup, you know? So, you know, I love those really close competitive games, and I think it's really exciting to see. I mean, I love to see Ross go down. So, and, you know, even though Eric came for me a couple weeks back, you know, we're all forgiven and we all good on that. But, you know, I was happy to see Eric come out with the win on that one. I completely, you know, Ross is my rival, one of them at least. So I was happy to see him go down.
Always a good day when Ross goes down. I'm never going to let go of this hatred, you guys, ever.
Hey, let it brew.
When he won two seasons in a row, man, it was just like the envy is real. It's real. It is.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, guys. All right, so we're going into week 7. You would like to think there's some separation in the league by now, but it's looking like we're still going to all be knotted up for a little bit at least. Who's shaping up to be contenders in the league at this point? Simon, you go ahead and take it on this one.
Well, you know, I threw some statistics on the group me to defend his team, but I've got to say Ronnie's looking strong. I think his receiving core is good. He has a good position right now with his record. I think he's going to be strong. And another team that, you know, we all had our opinions about at the beginning, but, you know, House Money, you know, like he's putting up big points. And, you know, I will say Chad's team, I think, has a higher ceiling than they're producing at too. He's going to have to dig himself out of a 2-4 hole. But you know, those three are who I'm keeping my eyes on. And of course, Eric's team too. I think those four are going to be really strong near the end of the season. And this is kind of me projecting out, you know, not just looking at the current state of the things, but, you know, all right, week 14, you know, what are things going to look like for me?
Definitely. I appreciate that take, man. The only thing I had an issue with is Ronnie. Yeah. Yeah, this is it's a travesty that he's leading the league right now. It's not right. It's just not, period. I hope all three of the starting wide receivers all get caught smoking marijuana and get suspended for the rest of the season. That's how I feel. Chris, what about you, man? Who do you see standing out and really, you know, who has the get up and go for the long haul this season?
Well, first of all, I'll say I see what you did there, Simon. You felt like previous weeks of us trashing Ronnie's team and he's sitting at 6-0. So you praise his team and perhaps he loses this week. I see what you did there. Nice strategy.
Hey, you got to play devil's advocate.
The greatest team that ever existed in the history of fantasy. Chris, this better work.
All right. I mean, I have some of the same teams kind of in my bullseye in terms of people who are going to look good going down the stretch. I mean, one team, I mean, the team that just beat me, JR's team, is actually pretty strong, man. They didn't score all that well this week, but, you know, he does have the depth to be able to pull things off. If Matt Jones continues to be, you know, what he is, then he's a very viable RB3 for him. And then, you know, he's made some really interesting pickups that have, you know, possibly come to fruition because of injury. And then, you know, I'll say Clint is still there, man. He still has a good team. He's just got to got to get it together and come up big in the big games. And so we'll see how that happens. And then last, I say AJ's got a shot. I mean, you're up there in points. Obviously, you're leading the league in points. Problem with scoring. It's an issue of trying to manage bye weeks, manage injuries, and things like that. And I think you could perhaps make a trade or two and end up, you know, being right at the forefront of that discussion.
Yep. I appreciate that, Chris. Yeah, man, it's definitely, you know, with me getting caught with the injury bug this week, it brings it to the forefront that you got to have depth in this league. So, you know, I may be looking to address that moving forward, like we all have to do. You know, at some point, man, this league forces you to be a savvy owner. It's never easy. It just isn't. Like, at some point, you're going to have to make a decision that's going to affect whether or not you win or you lose. And hey, last year, starting Richard Rodgers cost me a championship. $150 all because of 0.6 points. If I ever see Richard Rodgers, I'm Tonya Harding him in the knee.
Hey, can I add a little wrench in here, like a dark horse candidate? So my dark horse candidate, and this is completely turned around from week one, I will admit, and first of all, I will apologize to her so you know exactly who I'm talking about. It's Jewel, man. I think she's a dark horse candidate to hit that sixth spot. I wouldn't be surprised if she ended up being in it.
Yeah, man. Like, you know what? Some of the losses Jewel took this year already, they weren't bad losses. They just, you know, it's kind of like you get unlucky sometimes. And her team is coming on. You know, she put a strong performance in this week. Last week, I believe she put a strong performance in as well. You know, all you got to do is sneak in, you know, and a lot like it is in the NFL, it's about, is your team hot going into the playoffs? How many points are you putting up week in and week out in week 10, 11, 12, 13? And what we're doing in week 7 doesn't necessarily mean as much as what you're doing come week 12 and 13. So I like that pick, Chris. I really do. Yeah. So, Jewel, if you're listening, good luck to you. We see what you're doing. We're not going to make it easy, and you know that. If I got to go with my front runner, man, forget hubris, you know, whatever. I'm not worried. I got to go with my team, man. I believe in myself as a fantasy owner. Ooh. I believe in – no, I mean, honestly, dude, you know, like I really believe that I'll be able to make some adjustments. I'll be able to do what's necessary. But I genuinely believe if I can continue to score points, you give yourself a chance. And, you know, I'm leading the league in points scored. It's been unfortunate, you know, some of my losses. I would say even if I was sitting at 4-2 right now, I'd feel a lot better than sitting at 3-3. And I genuinely believe that two of my losses were games that I could have won. One, because I made the mistake of starting the wrong person. Roster decisions hurt. And the second one, it just nobody showed up, you know. And the player I went up against got lucky, and it happens. I really believe that I can get hot. I've got enough time to build some depth. And by the time I get to the playoffs, hopefully I have everybody in place. Because it's as I know from experience, it's about making those last three wins, and all the ones before that don't really matter. And now, this week, in every week's favorite segment for the man who makes it all possible, the Commission's Corner. Chris, you get to do double duty as a host and the commish this week. What's going on?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I might mess it up being here as the host and the commish. But the power rankings are actually
possible. I mean, you know, you mess up every week, but you're the only one that really will try to make it all work and happen. So we appreciate you even when you fail.
I don't know how it happens, man. It just all comes together.
The kids that you work with drive you crazy enough to make you have to have an outlet, and we just happen to be the one that you chose.
Hey, it's as great an outlet as any, so I'm appreciative of that. All right, so going into the power rankings, man, we know who number one is. It's Ronnie, 6-0, the great one. I really don't have anything to say about his team. I think I'm going to take the whole Simon approach and praise his team, and then maybe he falls this week. Number two, I actually have Nemesis, JR. He got a pretty good win off of me last week, and he's up there in points. So he'll sit at number two. Number three, I actually have Eric. So he has cracked the top three now. Even, you know, with his running back heavy approach and not really going in on wide receivers, he's cracked the top three. Let's see if he can maintain that. Then I have Roland at number four, and then I have you, AJ, at number five. So that rounds out the top five, and we'll see how those teams can do going forward. At number six, I have Ross, and then at number seven, I have Clint. So those guys are falling, and they might fall some more, depending on what happens this week. At number eight, I have Chad, and then at number nine, I have Ish. Chad lost to Ish, but he's still ranked over Ish because, you know, basically he has the ability to really blow up this season. And if his players get right, they can do it. And then at number 10, I have Jewel. I have myself at number 11. Then I have Shane at number 12. And I have Simon at number 13. And then, of course, the putrid front runner, the guy who's 0-6, who may shut down the 6-0 guy this week, we'll see, is Brad. And that concludes the power rankings, man. I wanted to get through it quickly. And, you know, it pretty much reflects the standings, but there are a few wrinkles in there.
And Ish joins in right at the perfect time.
How's everyone doing?
Doing well.
Doing well, brother.
Doing well. And so, you know, Ish, the new name of your team, or what I've been saying all night, is Ish, the big effing Ish.
Well, that was the point of the name earlier. That was.
I got it, brother. I got it. I'm looking out for you.
So, Ish, I'm going to take over for AJ and ask you a few questions just to get your juices flowing on this high points win. So the first one I want to ask you is, do you really think 150 is sufficient, or did you just get lucky?
I mean, I don't know. I see my team doing scoring around 130, 140, if everyone is healthy and performing what they could be performing. I mean, Odell definitely saved the day, and then I had another big game with Stewart. I mean, I expect Bell and Stewart, you know, to be a solid backfield for me. And then if I can just get some, you know, decent production from, you know, two other wide receivers other than Odell, I mean, then I think I would be in good shape, because I also have the Minnesota defense who's been performing out the roof. I mean, they had the bye last week. And then I just need some production from Palmer. So I think I can score between 130 and 140. I mean, 150, I think I scored 160 this week, or maybe 155, something like that. I don't know. I don't remember.
150. Right at 150, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, that's not something I'm going to score every week. I don't expect that. But I do think the 130, between 130 and 140 is reasonable. But it's not looking good for me so far with Meredith playing today, not scoring, you know, his, you know, 15 to 25 points that he's been providing over the last 2 weeks. So,
yeah, I wouldn't say don't, you're not alone on Meredith. I have him in a couple of leagues, and I played him in DFS this weekend too. So, you know, I'm right there in the boat with you.
Yeah, they need to negotiate with the NFL, the Players Association. I mean, maybe get rid of this Thursday game. I mean, I don't think people even have time for that anyways.
Yeah, I hate the Thursday game, man. I'm a known hater of the Thursday night game.
Yeah, the Thursday night game is pretty shitty. Like, really? I mean, what's crazy about it to me, the hypocrisy behind it, with all of what's been happening in the last few years with the NFL, you know, saying they're stressing player safety. How are you going to ask an NFL player to come back and play a game on 3 days rest?
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
Yes, technically four if you count from game time to game start. But come on, it's like how can you play your best? And I mean, how, like, and when you're tired and your body's, still not fully recovered. Like, that's asking for players to get hurt.
Yeah, that's especially true for teams that are traveling, you know?
Oh, man. Yeah, basically, you have 2 days to recover. Then you have a whole day that's dedicated to travel. It's just, it's not right.
Yeah, I agree. I think there was only one really productive Thursday game fantasy-wise. I mean, that was when, I think it was for you, when you had Forte and Marshall go off pretty well. Other than that, I mean, I don't think there was any great Thursday night fantasy performances.
I think week one. So was it Broncos and Panthers?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I got lucky with that week with Marshall and Forte both going off. But since then, they both stopped learning how to score points. Well, now Marshall's still been consistent, but Matt Forte is just not even sniffing anything like the end zone.
I think we should stop the niceties here. We brought Ish on to be our smack talk guest, and he has not talked any smack yet. So, Ish, do you have anything to say to anyone in the league who has doubted you? You know, you're at the point where you're actually at 3-3 now. You're in the playoff chase. You're trying to get there. But you have anybody you want to talk to specifically in the league?
JR. I'm calling you out, bro. I know you got me, the best of me, last time in Rival Week. But I'm coming for you. I'm going to destroy you next time. My team is starting to shape up. One more receiver that starts to, you know, produce steadily, you're done. We'll destroy you. And everyone else, too.
What about Simon this week? He's intimated, I think, that he's going to beat you. So what do you think?
Bro, if fantasy football was his girl, I'm stealing his girl.
Wow. Oh, man. Wow.
Shots fired.
Shots fired, man. All right.
I like Simon, you know. He's a fellow BNB compadre, but, you know, got to teach the young bull something. You know?
Oh, man, he bringing out the Philly slang. Philly slang on it.
This sounds like some smack talk.
No, man. Yo, I'm gonna tear this joint up, son. Yeah, I'm going real Philly.
That is very Philly.
I'm learning, you know. I'm a Brooklyn native, but I'm learning, man.
Yo, that's the only reason I like you, man. My mother was from Brooklyn.
That's the only reason.
Only reason, man. It's hard to like anybody in this league. I've lost too many times in the championship.
especially since when we match up, you know, you're probably gonna hate me some more.
Not really. And don't worry, I'm about to injure JR this week, so he's gonna limp into that matchup with you. I'm about to get this win.
That's good. That's nice to hear.
So, Ish, you know, we're about to close out this section, but is there anything else you want to talk about? Anything going on in your life that you want the league to know about? Anything like that?
Just like, you know, we see in fantasy football, there's times where things are down, but they do come up eventually, except for if you were Brad this season or Technus of years past and Jewel, you know, those are the exceptions of things never looking up, but the last year and a half, I've been grinding like crazy in lab and, you know, not many fruits, you know, but things are looking better and my fantasy team is looking better. So, you know, stay positive, guys, except for if your name is Brad or Jewel.
Well, hey, I mean, earlier I actually identified Jewel as a dark horse candidate to make the playoffs. So maybe she is getting out of it this year.
Nah, I'm just joking. I think that she has a solid team, that she was unlucky. And you know, that David Johnson, man, oh my God, him and Zeke have by far been, like, amazing. I mean, I'm glad that I have Le'Veon Bell, but I'm not happy that I paid $80 for him or more. But, you know, it is what it is.
I mean, it's working out for you. At least you didn't, you know, pull a Roland and put $99 on a Marshawn Lynch who ends up getting injured for half the season.
I mean, I did go without Stu for a while, but, I mean, he looks back. He looks well. You know, I wish Arian Foster would be awesome, but, you know, he's Arian Foster. He's glass. You know, I wish Kenneth Dixon, you know, would have taken over Terrence West's job. I wish, you know, some of these other guys I picked up. And it's looking obvious that everybody in the Green Bay backfield sucks, so hopefully Nile Davis, you know, emerges. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, man.
But, oh, yeah, man. I seen on the boards Eric getting feisty because Brad calling out his team saying it's luck. It's not that serious. Those wins were luck, bro.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to put myself in the middle of this, but I do think that you have some validity here saying that they're luck if you look at those scores.
So now come to the time in the podcast where we talk about our Week 7 previews. This week in fantasy football matchups. First matchup, we have Chad, Stairway to 7, versus Ross, the Fresh Crew. Ross is projected to win. We got JR, Nemesis, versus myself, Henry P. McCoy. JR is projected to win, but we know that Yahoo makes mistakes, and it's okay. All right, Shane, the Little Teapot, versus Roland, House Money. Roland's projected to win that matchup. Skip this week, we are the IR versus Eric, Jacob's High Rollers. Skip is projected to win. Skip, can you finally pull one out this week? Ronnie, the great one, versus Brad, Smoke on the Water. Brad is projected to win. And Ronnie's top three wide receivers get caught with marijuana and hookers in the backseat of the car the night before the game, and he loses. Simon, Mr. Steal Your Girly, can you bring it home this week versus Ish? The big effing Ish, projected to win Ish in this matchup.
Hey, listen, you know, no hard feelings, Ish. I'm about to win today. I got Vernon Davis replacing the great Jordan Reed. And Meredith has 0 points in the first half. So I'm just hoping that that trend continues.
Yes, sir. And in this last matchup, Chris's dark horse candidate, Jewel, hostile takeover, versus Clint, Sandy's Ravage. Projected win, Jewel. Hey, Chris, you and I, we had a board bet, and it didn't work out for you. I think because of my marriage theory, Jewel's not going to make it to the playoffs this year. It's a guaranteed flop when you're planning for a wedding. But you think she could be your dark horse. Who's going to be right, Chris?
Well, I think if you go on this week, perhaps, you know, you will be right. I'm not sure that she has the firepower to get it done against Clint this week, especially with Eddie Lacy going down, man. That's a sad situation. Yeah. And then Randall Cobb, I mean, he's doing all right tonight. He's got a few points. He's got 11.2 right now.
Yeah, but he almost got a touchdown. That would have helped a lot.
But on the other hand, Zach Miller has not had a catch yet. So, you know, you win some, you lose some. But I think Clint has some good matchups with his players, so.
All right. So, all right, guys, I'm going to ask you this. Are there any of the matchups this week that stand out to you that you're really excited about? And is there one that looks like it's going to be laughable? Simon, let's hear what you got to say on that one first.
I mean, I'm going to say you going head-to-head against JR. I mean, that's going to be – both of y'all teams have showed the potential to score a lot. Both of y'all teams are – about middle to upper of the pack right now. So I think that one might be pretty close. I'm interested to see if Brad gets the win. Like the 0-6 versus the 6-0, like that would be very anticlimactic, but now and very ironic. But honestly, I'd like to see that just because it would be an awesome thing to see.
I believe if we are correct, and since we have the official historian of the league on with us today, I believe we've had this happen before where we had an undefeated team be defeated by a defeated team.
Oh, yeah. We've had that happen multiple times, in fact.
Yeah.
That's where the whole little thing about me joking about defeated teams comes from. Got it.
Yeah. Hey, well, Brad, if you're listening, go ahead and get that done for us and keep the tradition alive, brother.
All right. I got to say, my matchup that looks like it's going to be pretty awesome this week. I'm going to go with Ronnie and Brad because I'm seeing Brad pull it out, brother. Ronnie's going to trip up, and the fall is going to be hard. And this one would hurt the most. So I'm rooting for that. So in closing, gentlemen, you got anything you want to tell the people?
You know, thank you for the great podcast, fellas. I want to say, you know, it as hard as it, as an introduction it's been, you know, I really enjoy playing with y'all. I appreciate joining the Fresh family, and I will not disappoint y'all moving forward. I am going to be the waiver wire warrior that I used to be or used to not be, however you however you determine that. So you know, it's just been a lot of fun. We're almost about halfway through the season. I've had a lot of fun playing with you guys. So, let's just keep it fresh.
Yes, sir. Hey, and I will say, man, I think the change of the name is going to change the regime moving forward.
There we go.
It was a good thing for you to shed, brother. Everybody got to shed their skin eventually.
There we go. You know, I'm moving on to greater things. You know what I mean?
Unfortunately, you will not beat me this season, though. Sorry about that. Chris.
Yeah. I mean,
talk to the people, man. It's your first podcast ending.
I know. I can't mess it up. So, you know, it was great being on the podcast and, you know, being able to wrap it up with you all and you know, definitely Ish. I think you're aptly naming him when you actually say his name every single time because I think he really embodies that name. So
oh, yeah, we knew the intention, and I mean, it works. It works. It does.
And, you know, to everyone in the league, I mean, I appreciate you all being active and being on the boards and everything. And I just appreciate everything you all do. You make my week fun, even in the midst of lots of chaos and work that I have to do. You know, I get to come back and look at the chat and look at our scores and really just relax. So I appreciate that.
Hey, salute to the commish. We appreciate you,
brother. Jinx, Simon.
Double Jinx.
Oh, anyway, man. Just
you owe me a soda. There's no anyway. You owe me a soda.
Y'all know what it is, man. Let's see. Monday through Thursday, you guys are my best friends. Thursday through Sunday, you can all go to HE Double Hockey Sticks. I'm trying to win. Till next week, man. I hope you all have a good one. Thanks again for listening. EFF out.